You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined by John Babb. And the meetings are Ayr, Leicester and Sandown, Newcastle and Dundalk in the evening as well. And you can join us on Racing Radio from 1:40pm. Gary Capel and Craig Forsyth will join me in the studio live for Friday's action as well. Pleasure to have you on the podcast here, John.
Cheers.
And, yeah, I mean, we're getting closer to Cheltenham, so I'm going to have to talk to you about that.
That's fine.
Yeah. I know it's not...
Oh, well, I'll be watching it, don't you worry.
I was going to say, I know it's not always something you want to talk about earlier on in the year, but when it gets to this time of year, even you must get caught up in the buzz around Cheltenham.
Well, it's of course, they're great races to watch, but you know, if I'm not looking to bet on them, I don't get the sort of build-up that you guys get, because I'm not looking to even bet. But when it comes to race day, I think it'd be pretty hard if you're not watching, you'd be I'm not going to sort of sit in my office and think, well, I'll tell you what, I'll watch Countdown and come back for Southall. you're going to be watching these races. Of course you are. They're the best races in the year, aren't they? Particularly in the jumps. But any of these festivals, whether they be on the flat Ascot or Aintree on the jumps, Cheltenham on the jumps, really and truthfully, any racing fan's going to be tuning into them and watching them, aren't they, with a keen eye, really.
Yeah. Any memories down the years that really stand out to you? What was your favourite, Cheltenham?
The favourite one's going to be when I used to go regular, and a favourite one's always probably going to be the Dickinson 5 that year.
Yeah.
It was a good time to be there. I like that Cheltenham then, the old Cheltenham as such, as I call it. It's definitely changed. The whole thing's changed. It got bigger and bigger and bigger. But I don't know. I like the old Cheltenham. It was a little bit of a different meeting. Everything's gone a little bit more professional now. And they're bigger operations, whereas the winners were often spread out more, a bit more smaller trainers and things. And obviously, it was only a 3-day festival at the time as well. So.
Yeah. Less scope for the fairy tale story, if you like, nowadays.
Of course.
Yeah. What it does mean is we've got some high profile connections and you know, real famous horses already before they get there. That's always exciting to see. One of those will be Mike Bite at the Cheltenham Festival. Quotes today from Ruby Walsh saying that he thinks Mike Bite could go on to be one of the best we've ever seen, which is quite a bold statement given the horses he's ridden there and the horses we've seen win the Gold Cup in the past. It's a huge statement, really. What do you make of that?
Well, I can see what he's saying, because obviously, you know, last year's RSA winner, then it was won his intermediate chase at Sandown, and then won the King George, and then he's coming to here. His profile suggests that there is more probably to come, because he's still quite inexperienced, really. Isn't he? Here is a 9-year-old, isn't he? And especially as the way he's won some of his races. Like last year, I mean, when he's won at Cheltenham, he's half chucked it away and then rallied and won. And you're thinking, well, there's more to come from him than that. It's almost as if he's not giving you everything. So you do wonder whether if everything could iron out and you could get a full-on performance, you could see something really special. And that's what I think we'd be hoping. I mean, he's 3-1, so I mean, it's not as if he's the second coming at the moment, because if he was, he'd be a shorter price than 3-1. Mm. But I think people would be hoping that they can see a proper champion, that if he goes and wins well next week, I think he'd already be a short price for next year as well, I would suspect, you know, being the fact that he's only 9. And he's still relatively lightly raced. But he's done everything in good style. He's done really good numbers. And I would say he'd be one that most racing fans would like to see win, because people do like to see champions. I mean, we don't want sort of horses winning a different winner every year of all these races, because then you haven't got the iconic figures of racing that people are going to be talking about in years to come. You didn't mention them, but you obviously touched on the likes of Corto Star and Denmans and things like that, but they'll be talked about for years to come.
Yeah.
If you don't get champions, then what do the young people talk about then, really?
Exactly, yeah.
In my day, you know, you'd be talking about your sea pigeons and Comedy of Errors and Lanzarotti's and things like that, because they used to go there and win every year, right there, first, second, every year. They were brilliant horses, and that's what people want to see.
It is. Mike Bike, the 3-1 favourite at the moment in the market, ahead of Native River, who's 11-2, 6-1 for Sizing John, last year's champion. Our Duke, 7-1, 8-1 for Road to Respect, 10-1 Kalutovic, and bigger prices for the remainder. You mentioned about his wayward tendency at the end of the RSA. You could look at that two ways, couldn't you, with Mike Bite as well? You could say he's done all that and still had enough to win. Or would you look at it the other way and say, well, if he's doing that, at some point it's going to catch him out? Which, you know, you can see both sides of the sword, really, there.
I'd like to think at some stage it'll iron out of him.
Yeah.
I mean,
it has been more straightforward this turn.
Yeah, and I'd like to think that, you know, obviously the jockey knows him really well and should be able to hopefully get him in a position where that he feels comfortable that it's not going to happen again. And as I say, he's getting older and more streetwise. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Obviously, it could happen and you could have egg on your face saying, well, so you should have been worried about that. But yeah, if you keep worrying about everything, you probably would never have a bet. Or so.
Yeah. We've also had quotes from another jockey as well. Aidan Coleman talking up My Tent Are Yours, saying something along the lines of you'd be foolish to ignore him in the Champion Hurdle. Did you go along with that? Getting on a bit now, isn't he? But he's got a great record in the race.
Yeah, he has. And because of that, I mean, there's also, this is a race where there has been a lot of horses over the years that have keep coming back and finishing in the first four or something pretty much throughout their career. And he could well still be one of them. I really struggle to see him winning it, particularly if the ground goes on very, very soft or heavy, or, I mean, which it may well be on the first day. They're talking about it going particularly soft with extra rain during the rest of this week, and the ground could be at its softest early in the week. Obviously, we're only talking what race three of the meeting, isn't it, the Champion Hurdle? So, yeah, it wouldn't. I think it'd be a bit of a major shock, really. That, to be honest, I know he's got all that course form and he's a good horse, but I think racegoers would be pretty shocked if My Tent All Yours is the Champion Hurdle winner for 2018.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 years ago you wouldn't be shocked, but at 20, you know, this time of his career and with the likes of Bouvardaire in there, who does...
Well, and Faheen as well, really. Yeah. You know, I'd be struggling to see, you know.
Do you think he'll bounce back? Because he's obviously had a bit of a patchy season, hasn't he?
He has, but I don't think they'd run him if they didn't really think... Yeah. You know, not in this race, too. I'd like to think they wouldn't anyway, to be honest. I'd think he'd be pretty much banging Cherry Ripe for Tuesday. Horses, there's quite a few in there that could run well if you're looking at sort of without the favourite type market. Horses like Wicklow Brave, I could see him running well.
Yeah.
If you thought that Faheem was going to bomb out, and that was your opinion that way, I would possibly be looking at Wicklow Brave as being the one that would pick up. And you've just flicked over the bet in there without, you know, 6-1.
Yeah.
That would have some kind of an appeal to me.
Yeah, he's 6-1 each way, fifth of the odds, 1, 2, and 3. So if Bouvardaire wins as expected, you'd only need him to finish in the first four.
Yeah.
6-1 looks a pretty fair price for that.
He does, yeah. Because he's got a good solid record in these type of big races, hasn't he? So, he'd be my call rather than My Tent or Yours, despite Aidan Coleman's bullish statement.
Fair enough. Just with regards to what John said about the weather there as well, Cheltenham are braced for rain, and they're saying that the going could be partly heavy by Sunday. So if that's the case, it's going to be pretty testing on that first day, isn't it? We're going to have a pretty testing meeting, you'd suggest.
So the punters who are looking to get their annual holiday money betting on good to soft are going to have done it in this year, aren't they?
The unwritten rule that we have good to soft on the first day is going to maybe come unstuck this year. By the way, Ruby Walsh, who we mentioned in passing there, I'll mention his quote about Mike Bite. He has made a winning return to action in Thurles today.
Right.
First ride back was a winning one. So he's flying again ahead of the Cheltenham Festival. Just a little bit of news there as well. But we'll leave that there. All of that comes next week, of course. The festival gets underway on Tuesday. You can hear all of the action live on William Hill Racing Radio. We do have action before that. We've got racing coming up on Friday, of course. Plenty of meetings. Five of them on the domestic front. Four of them on the domestic front, and we've got Dundalk in Ireland as well. And John's looked at a couple for us. You've gone to Newcastle for your selections, John. First race you've picked out is the 5:45, which is a mile and a half maiden, which is a race that some people would actually, you know, rather swerve most days. So what's made you pick that?
Well, because I've seen three of the horses and sort of three of the main protagonists, really, in the flesh. And what I mean, I can't have Heather Lark. Really can't have that horse, although, I mean, she does stay. And that's all she does. She was ex-John Gosden. She's moved to Richard Spencer. But she's got very limited scope. I mean, I'm sure that connections have bought. I think Phil Cunningham's bought her and would be desperate to win with her, as were the previous connections, because she hasn't got a bad page to breed off. But she's not much, and I can't really see how she's going to beat her old inmate, Natch from the John Gosden yard. He ran in an okay maiden last time, finished second round at Wolverhampton, and I think if he just runs to that form, I think Newcastle's track will suit him absolutely fine. He should beat these. River Glades, who's run twice now in maidens and shaped well for a fair bit of the race, but he still just looks weak and he's not finishing off his races. Mile and a half around Newcastle tomorrow. I can't see as he's ready for that at the moment. 14 days after his last run, when he's backed out of it quite quickly in the last furlong and two furlongs of the race, not for me. So Natch stepping up to a mile and a half tomorrow. He's running mile and a quarter around Wolverhampton. I think this will just be right for Natch tomorrow.
Natch the selection for John then in the 5:45 at Newcastle, and the next race is the race where John's next selection comes. That's the 6:15 and apprentice handicap for the 3-year-olds here. So it's a race where I think it's quite fair to say the jockey is as important as the horse, perhaps more so in some cases with these kind of races.
Yeah, but to be fair, they're not a bad bunch of jockeys, these. I don't think there's anyone here where you'd be that wow that you're thinking I've got to be on that jockey, and there's no jockey in here where I would be necessarily put off that much either. I think you can say that for a lot of the flat apprentices at the moment. We've got some good ones. There was one or two other races on the card where I actually fancied one or two horses, but when I saw their stall positions, they were drawn very low in straight track races, which I don't really like here at Newcastle. So that's why I ended up coming back to this 6:15 race and ended up having to go with this one. And I've gone with number 5, Fernie Factors, who's drawn 9 of 9, and I think that's quite a decent track position here. I do think most of the winners tend to come up the stand side in the closing stages. And this horse ran behind at Wolverhampton and chased home Tyrock Brandy in a maiden race last week, when, I've got to be honest, I was very, very strong on the favourite that night. And this horse has really made it work. Showed an exceptional early pace. Had him on most of the field on the spin, really, turning for home. Tyrock Brandy's passed her. Furlong and a half from home, you think the race is absolutely all over. But Fernie Factors has battled back well. And on its previous run at Newcastle, it's basically stuck on well to the line. The question mark is the 6 furlongs, but I think the horse will get it okay, particularly in this grade of race here. It's only a 46-65, and there's nothing in here that's really been doing that much in the closing stages of races. Like, it's finished in front of Ghost and Ideal Spirit before. A Coastal Driver would be a little bit of a worry for me. Jam Power showed absolutely nothing at Wolverhampton recently. First time in a handicap for Stuart Williams, but he'll have his supporters just because it's Stuart Williams going up to Newcastle. But I do think Fernie Factors, if it just runs up to its last couple of runs, I think it's going to take an awful lot of beating tomorrow at Newcastle.
Great stuff. That's Fernie Factors then for John in that 6:15 to go along with the selection in the 5:45, which was Natch. If I were to ask you over the pair of those, which would you prefer? Which would be your strongest opinion?
Well, I saw an early betting forecast for Natch suggesting 5-4. Now, if that was the betting, it'd be Natch, because I would have Natch there odds on. That looks to me, that looks like about 8-11 chance to me, if that's the way I would price that up. We have got a bit of a chance just because the way the ratings are, that it might be that they'll bet that way, then just be a bit of odds against. I think that's value. But because I literally cannot, I'm really struggling with Heather Lark, but just because of her rating, they've got to give her a chance. Okay. But she looks the type that's always going to just keep getting beat.
Well, fair enough. Good luck with those, John.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. And when are you back with us on Racing Radio? You back anytime soon?
I'm going to try and do one of the nights at Wolverhampton. I haven't been well enough to do it like this last week. I couldn't go. I was just too ill. But I'm hoping I'll get to one of the evenings next week after Cheltenham.
Good stuff.
Hopefully you can hear me from trackside there.
Nice. Cheers, okay. John.
Thank you. All right.
That's John Babb for us then on the William Hill Racing podcast. You can hear all of the action on Friday from 1:40 p.m. Myself, Mark Walton in the studio with Gary Capewell and Craig Forsyth. It's Ayr, Leicester and Sandown in the afternoon, Newcastle and Dundalk throughout the evening. So do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.